Welcome to the fifth of our six-part series on the secrets of champions. And in studio with us, we've got Tony Gaddy, who is a clinical and performance psychologist and has been working with champions in all spheres of life, particularly in sports, but in all spheres of life, and has distilled for us the six secrets that make champions. And today we are on our fifth secret, which is...
A champion enjoys a difficult journey.
A champion enjoys a difficult journey. Okay, let's go with that. Right. So what is the paradox here that we're dealing with?
So what's interesting here is a paradox is a statement that has two completely opposing forces which contradict each other. But it's actually true. However, a champion enjoys a difficult journey is a little bit blurred. It's more of a contradiction because we all know that there's certain things like going for a hard run or a hard cycle. Those who are athletes might enjoy the pain or the power of the cycle or the hard run. So it's not exactly a paradox. For today, we're talking about a contradiction. It's not that important.
But most people avoid pain. So there is this, actually this contradiction here that you enjoy the pain. You enjoy the challenge of the pain. What is it that we are enjoying about the challenge?
Yes. Well, I want to be specific around the opposing forces here because... The one opposing force is conquering challenges, mm-hmm. and the other one is really enjoying the journey.
Okay. So let's start with the first one, conquering challenges. So the whole idea that we love challenges, that I'm going to speak from entrepreneurs' perspective, that entrepreneurs love challenges. That there's often a saying that when entrepreneurs get bored, they create problems in order to fix them. So they like to be in the state of fixing, to be challenged, right? Successful entrepreneurs enjoy that.
Yes. I want to first point out, especially for the broad market, most human beings don't like a difficult challenge. Mm-hmm. And that's so okay. But what happens with the journey of learning and practicing the conquering of a challenge, you start to build your own strategy, your own routine, recipe for that challenge. And after the challenge, with reflection, you also learn to look at what you have learned, what you have gained, and the strengths you have to actually conquer challenges, which then builds your toolbox, your fortitude for the next challenge. And so challenges then become easier to you, and then okay. They become exciting.
I want to just press on this word challenge, because if I think about my personal journey, right, there's a challenge and there's a crisis, and I certainly don't like a crisis. A crisis feels far more painful and far more difficult and far more existential to a large extent than a challenge. COVID for many people was a crisis. I don't think they enjoyed that, or many people enjoyed that. So is there a distinction in your mind?
So absolutely. So I want to, it's seldom that we have a massive crisis like COVID, which sends most people into a vicious cycle downwards, can put businesses out of business. So let's put crises aside. At the same time, I quickly want to add that most who look back at COVID, and if you look at your gains and your learnings, there's probably going to be quite a few there. So I want to just add that. But let's put the crisis aside. It's so important to understand that anyone who wants to be a champion at anything or fulfill their potential or become the best person that they can be, they are going to be put in circumstances which stretch them, which challenge them. And it's so useful to have a toolbox or a recipe which helps you face or conquer your challenges. And I usually say there are three things for me. The first thing is around self-doubt and self-belief, which I've already addressed in one of the secrets. And that every single champion I interviewed, I've studied, I've worked with, every one of them has a part of them, which I call their little me, where they start to doubt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one of them have had great experiences where they've seen their strengths. And it's all about learning to handle that little me, keeping that little me minimized or contained or handled in order to amplify their strengths, their great me, their fortitude, their boldness, in order to come to the challenge with their great me dominating and leave their little me at the back of their mind. So that's number one. Number two is we all have an interplay of child, parent, and adult in our heads. And I'm not going to go into too much detail. That's a psychological theory called transactional analysis. But it's so important for us to have the awareness that we want the healthy part of the child, adult, and parent for a challenge. The healthy child is creative, is excited for the challenge, is excited to get on a bike that they haven't ridden and see if they can ride it. That's the childlike attitude that you bring to the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The parent would be encouraging and dust yourself off if you fall off the bike and get back again. And that's the kind of parent attitude you want. And the adult will be taking a calculated risk. They wouldn't be wild and irresponsible. They would be, let's put some pads on your elbows and on your knees in case you fall. And then it wouldn't be such a bad fall. And so it's healthy to have your healthy child, parent, and adult in your head when you come to the challenge.
Okay.
And number three.
Very powerful, that thought. Okay, number three.
And number three is about really exaggerating your small successes, because there are going to be many little challenges along the way. And if you celebrate your small successes, then the journey becomes much more palatable and, in fact, enjoyable.
But in an authentic way, I'm sure. Like, yeah. you can't now watch this and then go, now I'm going to do that. It's more around being aware of it and then being authentically celebrating as opposed to falsely celebrating. Because I've also seen people where they almost feel like that happens, then they have to have a celebration, then that happens, I have to have a celebration. And they don't really connect with it. They just know they have to do it in a rote way versus actually sincerely feeling that excitement from that small win.
Yes, yes, very much. In the sense that you are, it's more about, I think, the fact that you did what you needed to do and relishing in your action in the challenge as opposed to the result of the challenge. Like, what did you contribute to make it happen?
Yeah, so all of this resonates with me right now, if I can just share with you now, because as I listen to you, I'm trying to work out if I'm a champion or not. You know, I at the age of 56, I'm a startup again. I've a startup within a startup and thinking about...
You say you have a startup again?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I have a startup within Race Corp. I've got a new startup. It's early stage. It's losing money. I've got doubt whether it will succeed, but I'm very sure I will succeed at the same time. Every time I make a sale in that, I get very, very excited, even though relative to the main part of the business, it's minuscule, but I get more excitement out of the small win than the what I'm used to, because I feel like I'm winning. And I'm just thinking about that very powerful thought about the parent, the child, and the adult. I'm just trying to relate that back to my feeling right now. The child is, oh, this is world first. Will it succeed? Yeah, let's see how far this thing goes.
And yes. Is the child excited?
Very excited.
Oh,
that's all the child thinks about is it wants to play with this. Then the adult is the encouraging adult. I like that. Is
encouraging parent.
Encouraging parent. Okay. So, or just help me there with the parent and the adult, because there's normally the critical parent. So
yes.
So that is the person who says, be careful, you shouldn't, you should, right?
Yes, so that's an unhealthy parent, and right. You want to be aware of that, and you want to be the encouraging parent of this challenge.
Parent. Okay, and the adult is doing what?
Is rational, takes calculated risks.
Okay.
Doesn't just jump out of an airplane when you haven't learned how to pull out the parachute.
Yeah.
Calculated risks around the challenge.
Okay. So that's all good. So the parent, adult, child is in place. I've celebrated the successes. And number one was
Navigating the little me,
little me
and the great me, which is really learning to handle and deal with your little me.
With the self-doubt.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And of course, there is self-doubt. And we've said in the previous ones, I have to acknowledge self-doubt, which I do. I'm saying it here in an open forum, but I manage that self-doubt because I'm confident that I've won before. So I'm relating, saying that I've won before, I can win again.
Absolutely.
So far, I'm a champion.
Super on track.
Okay,
it's so lovely for me to see, like in this moment, that you are using what we have discussed from the Secrets of Champions. It's very exciting to see.
Let's go to the other side of the contradiction.
Yes. And the other side is from conquering challenges, which can be difficult, champion learns to enjoy the journey.
Okay.
To relish the challenges, the ups, the downs, the peaceful moments in between where there might not even be any major changes in a business. So on an even keel, then there's big creation or big deals. So it's so important to have those ebbs and flows and the periods for restoring and the periods for big creation or big work.
Okay, so that feels very Zen-ish, you know, that statement. But what I'm picking up from there is a little nuance which you're saying, which is those moments are where it's just peaceful, that you're almost very conscious of how nice it is, that there's no crisis or nothing going on now. It's just like there's peace. Then you're excited about the creative times, and then you're also okay with all the challenging times. And so you've got the ups, the downs, and the nothing happening times.
Mm.
And you're conscious of that. So the word relish, what does that mean? Is that like being very conscious and present? What does that mean?
Mm. Maybe relish is the wrong word. It's really learning to embrace and find joy in whatever the journey brings, because we need to find joy in all of it, not only the highs.
Okay.
So I think that's what's very important. I need to add a very important point here around the startup entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
because often the startup entrepreneur doesn't have those peaceful moments in between.
Mm-hmm.
And even the start-up or the initiator on any journey of success, the initial stage is
hectic.
It's hectic. That's a brilliant description. I don't have another word for it. And it's so important for them to understand that if the journey is going to be peace, there's going to eventually be processes in place which will bring stability. Then you're able to sustain this hectic period. So you can eventually get to that period of stability and then the enjoyment of peace before the next deal or the next creation or the next product.
Okay. Now, that is true, because if I now work with entrepreneurs, and if they're in the startup phase, they're going to say, well, there is no that peace. I don't know what you're talking about. So there's hope for, if you're one of those startup entrepreneurs who's watching or listening to this, that your time will come when there is peace and there is those wonderful moments of success. And of course, the embrace, how you embrace the challenge, or enjoy the challenge.
Mm.
And so let's just go there a bit more, because, you know, everyone now is having cold showers. And as I got into the shower this morning, the water was a little cold. I had switched on the hot water, but it was a little cold. I thought, I don't want this pain. It feels painful for me. I don't want to embrace this at all. And some people say that they actually quite addicted to that. And so there's this moment where you have to get used to, let's call it the challenge. You don't just walk in and say, oh, I enjoy challenges from day one. There's almost like you have to work at it to enjoy challenges, or you have to have a lot of cold showers until you enjoy it.
Yes.
Until it normalizes.
I think that very much points to the previous opposing force, where we speak about learning to conquer the challenge, where you know after the cold shower you're going to feel amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But in this force around enjoying the journey, it's interesting, because if you have a childlike perspective and you come into a cold shower and you're in the moment and it's exciting and it's freezing, but it's exciting at the same time, then it's very different to a adult who's grumpy and complaining and irritated that there's no hot water. And so I think it's very much again around bringing that child, adult, parent dialogue in your head, or ego states, as they call it in psychology, in your head, and bring out your child. And how would a fun, carefree child handle a difficult moment? And that's an important perspective to have when it comes to the difficulty in the journey, whatever difficulty that comes up on your path.
Let's reconcile this now, as we do with all these paradoxes, or in this instance, a contradiction. Let's reconcile this. So what happens when you reconcile the two contradictions?
There's a few very important points I need to add before we reconcile, if I can do that. So
no problem.
A very good example of trying to enjoy a challenging journey is Andre Agassi. Of course, coming from a tennis background, I have to bring out my tennis examples. And many people have read his book. It's a super popular book. And Andre Agassi actually, even though he was an incredible champion, he didn't enjoy his journey. Well, he was forced into this journey. He didn't want to be a pro. His dad wanted him to be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knew he had to. It was a very volatile relationship between his dad and himself. And so he decided he has no other choice but to make this journey enjoyable and fun. And so I had friends who used to train with him on the tennis circuit at his tennis academy. And they told me about how every training session was a targeted training session, in the sense that he made a game out of where he could hit the ball, what targets he could hit, what cokes he could win, betting his coach whether he could get 100 forehands in that corner and then he would get a coke, or he would then play matches against other players and he would bet them that he could beat them 0-0 and then put money on the game. So he really made it, I'm not encouraging gambling, but he really made it very fun for him. And that's a great example of often there's going to be difficult times or times that initially you don't enjoy. And it's about finding this creative, childlike fun frame around it. How can you make it fun? How can it serve you on your journey?
That's very powerful.
An important example. The number two is around champions really understand the joy or the contrast of the joy of working hard and then relaxing later or playing later. And I think that contrast is very important to embrace, that that hard work is going to be rewarded with something fun and noticing that big contrast between the two. And the last but not least, it's probably the most important. No journey can be enjoyable if we can't regulate our stress. And it's so important to have tools to regulate our stress. And I have four tools which are so powerful and so simple. They're called the four M's. And the four M's are music, mantra, meditation, and massage. And it's fascinating. Music has the most incredible ability to take down your arousal, your nervous system, your anxiety, and a whim. And people need to experiment with that. Number two, mantra is you need to find your philosophy, your anchoring statement that keeps you on your track of enjoyment, that keeps you encouraged. And I challenge the listeners to make that up for themselves. What is their statement that keeps them, that backs them and keeps them encouraged or excited? And meditation is just fascinating. There are so many modes to explore, and there's so much information on the internet, and you can get that on any app, on many, many apps today. Just Google it on YouTube and you will find beautiful guided meditations, and you figure out what brings your calm or what brings motivation. The app Headspace is an excellent app for that kind of thing. And the last one is quite an indulgence, and not everyone can afford that indulgence. But if you can, from time to time, a massage, a full body massage, just puts you in on a whole different level of calm, and the next day you will be ready to attack whatever challenges come your way.
Very, very powerful tools. Okay, so time to reconcile.
Yes, so when you have really grappled with how you as a human being can conquer challenges in your own particular way that serves you, that strengthens you, as well as learn your recipes, your toolbox to enjoy this difficult journey that will keep stretching you. It never changes, it always stretches. And when you're able to embrace both of those, you're left with a beautiful quality called response ability. And I write it response-ability.
Lovely.
Because we then gain the ability to respond to whatever is dished up on our journey in the way that serves us, not in a reactionary way or stressful way. It's a way that will serve our success and our enjoyment.
Well, Tony Getty, that was an incredible session. I feel like I've had a session. I wonder if you felt the same way. That was really chock-a-block with great information. And we have come to the end of our fifth secret. But don't worry, there's still one more. So stay tuned for our next podcast where we will deal with the sixth secret, which is?
Which is a champion is stubborn about winning, but open-minded about getting there.
A champion is stubborn about winning, but open-minded about getting there. See you next time.